Good morning, boys and girls.
Good morning.
Oh, that's pitiful. Pitiful. We're going to try it again. Caleb fell off the pew. I thought he got slain in the spirit earlier. All right, we're going to try this again. Good morning, boys and girls.
Good morning.
That's a little bit better. A little bit better. Let me explain where we were. Tiki had his dream. He wanted to parachute. And as a gift, he got to go on a real parachute jump. Only thing is, he had to be hooked to somebody else. He couldn't jump by himself. You can't do that until you're old enough and have had enough jumps with somebody to do that. Okay? Well, he jumped. Remember, as he went out of the plane, his cheeks were going in the wind, and he was, woo! And he's falling, and all of a sudden the chute opens, or at least it was supposed to. And it didn't open right. He was spinning and spinning. And the whole time, the ground's coming up. Do you know the ground is hard? How many of you have ever fallen down? Did it hurt? It did? I don't bounce well anymore. You would think I would, but I don't. It does hurt. And so the ground was coming up. Fortunately, he was hooked to somebody who knew what to do. And they pulled the auxiliary chute. And it popped out. And they were floating down. Who remembers where he was over top of when we left him? Anybody remember? It was a hog pen. They were coming down right in the middle. He could see the hogs laying down in the mess. It was black dirt. And they were all nasty. And he was thinking, and even though they only looked like this big, he knew if he landed in there, it would smell real pretty. No. He knew that. So as they're getting closer and closer, he closed his eyes because he knew any minute he was going to hit and land probably right on the back of one of those big old fat hogs. And hogs don't like you to land on their back. And he was picturing it flipping over and biting him right in the face or something, you know. He had all these things running through his head real fast. But all of a sudden, he felt warm air and he opened his eyes and the ship was not going down anymore. It was going back up. They had hit what is called a thermal. And a thermal is a rush of air going up. And so all of a sudden, he found himself going back up again. But not only was he no longer over the hog pen, it began to carry him over to the side of the island where people were really not allowed to go because there was an active volcano. Do you know what a volcano is? It's like when you make your mom. Caleb's like, why'd you look at me when you said that? And so they began to head over in that direction. But as they got higher, Tiki thought it was so cool. He could see his house. He could see his school. He could see their church. And on both sides of the island, he could see the ocean. And he's like, yes, yes. Then all of a sudden, he felt the guy that was the one that he was hooked to. He started pulling and tugging, and he realized what he was trying to do. He was trying to steer them, and he knew why. When he looked down, they had started to go straight into the volcano. As a matter of fact, the harder that he pulled to try to steer him away, the closer they seemed to fall. And the man hollered to Tiki, "Hang on!" One kid tell me one time, he said, "I hate your stories." I said, "Why do you hate them?" "Because you never finish them." I said, "I always finish them." He goes, "No, you don't." I was doing it in school chapel, and he was like in the fifth grade. He said, "I will graduate before Tiki ever gets finished." He was right. Take your Bibles, turn with me, if you will, to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. And I say confession is good for the soul, so I'm going to go ahead and do this. In this parable that we're speaking about here, I am not going to stand up here and pretend for 1 minute that I am an expert on growing a garden. I grew up in the suburbs of Washington, D.C. The only thing I knew about a garden growing up as a kid was the green giant always stood in one on the commercials. That's it. I did not. Canning, that was a metal thing on the shelf in the grocery store, all right? So that wasn't me. So I'm not going to speak to you from the experience of a guy that is just greatly and deeply entrenched in agriculture, but I'm going to present it to you in the way that Jesus presented it to the crowd. Jesus has gone out to preach, and he has gathered people, and they are around the shore of the sea, and he stepped out onto a boat so that he can speak to this huge crowd. Anybody got an idea why Jesus got out on the water to speak to the crowd? You know what happened? Have you ever been on the lake and you hear somebody talking and you think they're right beside you and they're on the other side of the lake? It carries. And so what he did, Jesus knew this. He's the one that made everything. So he gets in a boat and pushes off from shore, and he speaks and his voice carries, and they can hear everything that he's saying. But what he does is, he speaks in stories, sort of like tiki stories, only they were called parables. A parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. A parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. What is a parable? Heavenly meaning, exactly. And so what we're going to look at, this has often been called the parable of the sower, but what it ought to really be called is the parable of the soils or the dirt. And let's look at that. If you'll look with me in Mark chapter 4, in verse 1, it says, "And he began again to teach by the seaside, and was gathered unto him a great multitude, so that he entered into a ship and sat in the sea, and the whole multitude was by the sea on the land. And he taught them many things by parables, and said unto them in his doctrine." Doctrine, by the way, means teaching. I've heard people say they would love to have church without doctrine. You can't have church without doctrine unless you just sit around in your Joel Osteen and you tell everybody how pretty they are. Doctrine is teaching. You got to have it. As a matter of fact, Paul told Timothy, when you're preaching, give attention to doctrine. It's important that you teach. And so Jesus thought it was so important that as he's spending time on earth before he's crucified, before he dies, he spends a large percentage of his life teaching. And so that's what he's doing here. It says in verse 3, "Hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow." Now let me explain what that is. It's not talking about somebody that used to work in the pajama factory in Manchester that's sowing. It's not talking that. Again, I'm not speaking as an expert, but in Bible days, they had two main ways that you practiced as a farmer. Either you planted your crop by planting a seed or a seedling, or you sowed it. That was usually reserved for the grass-type crops like barley and wheat. And what you would do is you'd have this huge sack, and you'd hire people, and they'd have sacks, and they'd walk across your fields, and they'd reach in and get handfuls, and they'd throw it out, and the seed would land all over where it was thrown. So they probably got this better than you and I do, because we don't see much of that kind going on now, unless somebody has got grass seed and they're throwing it on a bare spot. But this is how they would do entire fields. Bigger than this sometimes, they would have sowers go out and they would throw that seed on that plowed ground. And what Jesus does is he uses this as an opportunity. Some have said that it's very likely as they were journeying there that Jesus and the crowd passed people that were sowing. And so what he often did is he used illustrations, because you see, a parable was also a sermon and an illustration all in one. So let's look and see what he says to them. In verse 4, "And it came to pass, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air," the birds, "came and devoured it up. And some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. And other fell on good ground, and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased and brought forth some 30, some 60, and some 100. And he said unto them, He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." What a curious phrase he often uses is when he speaks in parables. If you got ears, use them, he's saying. Let's pray. Father, I bow before you. Thank you for the privilege of being here with your people. Thank you for this opportunity. Now, I'm asking you that you would just use your word, God. You know my heart. I don't want to be a pointless, powerless preacher. I want this to be a blessing to those that hear it, Father. And in this room, there is every variety of soil that is mentioned in this passage, God. And I don't know who is who. I don't know how to sort out the soils, Lord, because it's in the heart. You do, though, and I'm asking you, Father, that you would help us all to see the necessity of making good soil for the reception of your word. And God, help and teach us from this, we pray, in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Well, the people didn't really get it. And what's funny, the apostles didn't get it. In other words, after Jesus tells this story, this parable, here's what I hear. I hear them all sitting there, thousands of them, and all you can hear is crickets and tumbleweeds. They don't get it. The apostles come to him and say, now, Jesus, what does this mean? And so if you'll look down with me in verse 13, he said unto them, know ye not this parable, and how then will you know all parables? And then he explains it. By the way, what is the best commentary on the Bible? The Bible. A lot of times the answers to your questions are right there. A verse of Scripture will raise a question. If you'll look in Scripture, you'll find the answer. And that's the case here. Jesus explains what he was talking about. He says in verse 14, the sower soweth the word. He's basically saying that's a person who shares God's word. And these are they by the wayside, in other words, the soil on the wayside, which, by the way, is translated the path or the packed ground or the packed dirt. These are they by the wayside where the word is sown, but when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. And these are they, likewise, which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time afterward, when affliction and persecution arises, for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word, and receive it, and bring forth fruit.